Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Blog Talk Radio show on Hidden Truth Revealed, the Inside Scoop, Faces Radio Channel. I am Luann Fleming, and my co-host is Marcy Friedman. And today is July 11th, 2018, and our guest tonight is Melissa Bennett. Right now, I'm going to bring in our co-host right now. That is Marcy Friedman. She's going to be joining me real soon, as soon as I get her on. Marcy, are you with us?
Yes. Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Marcy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Excited about this. I don't know if you saw in Time magazine how they did an article about isolation and studies that have been done that isolation causes mortality and it's linked to the victims of isolation dying of heart attack and how loneliness and the missing of their family members and how cruel it is. A huge article that I just read this morning in Time magazine. So I'm hoping that the courts will be more enlightened to see the cruelty that has been done to those victims that have been isolated. And it's even against the law. So every day I seem to see God's hands working for the benefit of our vulnerable elders. Because this is a huge epidemic that seems to be part of the, and I'm beginning to call it a cookie cutter, because all of the victims that you have had on the show, those that I have connected with, and those that Dr. Sam Sugar from AAAPG did a study, that all these cases are very similar. So it's a cookie cutter crime, basically.
Right.
Who the responsible parties are, of course, is different in every case. And I'm not here to point the finger on anyone. Just that it is a concern. Now, alone, I think there's 7,000 cases.
Right. Wow. See, so if we can find that article, I will go ahead and try to find that article, or you can send it to me, and I'll post it on our website, and also post it on our Facebook page. That is on Families Against Court Embezzlement and Ethical Standards, Face Us, and you can always see all the articles on there if the newest update. And there's also another article that came out. It's called Guardians from Hell, and it is by an award-winning journalist. Her name is Gretchen Rachel Hammond, and it's completely the completely legal, utterly grotesque system for undermining the rights of the elderly. I actually talked to her yesterday, and I'm going to be having her on her show to talk about this article that she's an award-winning journalist. So this is pretty exciting news that we're now getting journalists calling into our shows and talking about the articles that they're writing about this guardianship and conservatorship abuse. Anyway, I wanted to tell you a little bit about our guest tonight, Marcy, so just hang in there with me. Her father, Melissa Bennett, she's down in South Carolina, Charleston, and she said her father was put under a temporary guardianship conservatorship the end of 2016 by Family Services of Charleston. And she also said her family went through 52 lawyers. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
No, and now they're saying that all her dad has to do is a complete estate planning. Now, come on. We all know if you do an estate planning, it's going to end you up in probate anyway. So, anyway, most of the time that happens, and I'm just not saying that all the times, but in many cases that we've had complaints about, it didn't matter what articles or documents you had in order. It did not matter. The courts came in and seized people's property, themselves, whatever. This happens every day. I hear about it every day. But anyway, she, Melissa wants to pray that they free them from this horrific nightmare, and she calls us, this is us, the Bennett family. And her parents have been married 60 years, like my parents were married for years. She's the youngest of nine. Yeah, isn't that amazing? I mean, I see we see so much things that are the same, and just utterly, I don't even have words to describe what's happening to our country. Anyway, she still has no order to give back the money in her case, so I'm going to go ahead and bring her on. And she's trying to find other families in South Carolina going through the probate nightmare. So I'm going to go ahead and bring her on, our guest. Melissa Bennett, are you with us?
Yes.
Hi, Melissa. Welcome to our show.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. Boy, I was just talking about 52 lawyers. I mean, that's outrageous. I mean, I know another man that went through $2 million trying to get his $9 million estate back. And I can see how that happens. But we want to take you from the very beginning on how this all happened. And you talked about that it's been going on for a year and a half. Go ahead and tell us your story and feel comfortable about what you do want to share with us, because we are live on the air and we really don't like to piss off too many people. Okay?
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
The fact that we're talking about it, we're ticking off a lot of people. But my dad, before all this got started, you could, like, set your time watch to what he did every day. He was 80 at the time, and he walked every morning 3 miles. You know, I had a couple of brothers that are in Texas, and he would, you know, spend his week just doing yard work and lawning. And all of a sudden, he just went haywire. We couldn't figure out what was going on with him. Like, the first time was that I made lunch and told him, you know, the lunch was in the kitchen. He was like, don't you think I could fix lunch for myself? And he just went off. I was like, okay, what's going on? So after about 3 weeks of this, because we just thought he was a little stressed because he had just sold a good bit of property because they needed to do some work around the house and stuff. And we didn't know if he was stressed about the money or whatever. And then my mom was like, okay, something's wrong. So we called the doctor, and we on purpose got a geriatric doctor, you know, because our parents were getting up in age. And the doctor would not help us. And so the nurse saw my dad, and she said he had a bladder infection and gave her an appointment for, like, 3 weeks later. Well, we didn't even think anything of a bladder infection. And when he was still having issues, so I wrote the doctor a letter, like, you know, listen, there's something really wrong with Dad. You got to help me here. So he told my brother, you know, I know the senior advocate. She can help you out. And the first thing the senior advocate said was, I can help you. And she was going to help me get power attorney by sitting my dad down and, you know, having like an intervention with him. And the next thing you know, we were served with papers where they said my dad was incapacitated and was under a temporary order for conservatorship, and he wiped out his account.
Wow. And so was this in the Department of Social Services that did that, or who was it that served them papers?
No, the people that served the paper is a senior advocate and her lawyer. See, the first lawyer that brings you into the whole realm of things, he doesn't get paid unless he brings you into court. You know, so that's
right.
The first warning sign that there's something wrong. You know, of course he's going to put anyone that he encounters, any elderly person, in the system if he wants to get paid. So,
right.
You know, and, you know, I was like, what is all this? It was words we didn't even know. What is conservatorship? No one, I'm telling you, no normal human being down here knew what conservatorship is. I had to define it to every human being. And, like, even when I tell, like, the newspapers or whatever, they're like, what? What? No, they can't do that. Oh, yes, they can. And
they do.
Oh, my gosh. And then you're thinking, okay, you know, all we have to do is go into court. You know, no judge is going to let them get away with this. You know,
right.
Just tell the truth and let them know what's going on. So we went in there like a dummy, thinking, you know, there was due process. And, you know, I have 8 other living siblings. So it's just like, and we are all educated. We all, you know, own our own homes, have long history on jobs. No one's, you know, hard up for money or anything. And we went in there, you know, explained ourselves. And, you know, they were looking at us like, why are y'all talking? You know? And the thing about it is,
Too familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that whole idea of
right.
That whole idea of emergency hearing, that's how they get you. Because we were served on a Thursday, by Monday morning, we were in court. So down here, lawyers on Friday, they go golfing. You know, you want to find your lawyer, you go on the golf course. So when we were served on Thursday, you just like, we couldn't get a lawyer in there. So that's how it all started.
I talked to other people before, and they've always said that they were always served on a Thursday or a Friday. I think that's pretty ironic how that fits this circumstance in most of these cases, too. So I just wanted to put that in there.
It's very devious the way that they do things. The way that it seems from all the cases that we have heard, it seems that they have a loop to go against the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the first judge had no problem just approving all these attorney's fees. Did that happen to you too? Frivolous attorney's
fees?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. To email and talk to each other, not even to us. I mean, they went months of just having conversation with themselves. You know, we didn't know what we thought what they were doing is trying to figure out a way to bail out nicely and gracefully, because there was nothing on us. So we were like, okay, they're just trying to figure out a way to, you know, just give dad money back or whatever. No, they were using that time to email and talk and charge.
Yeah, they go around and like a merry-go-round. It seems like they go on a merry-go-round. They pick a topic till they exhaust it, and then they pick on something else. And then if they try to create family feud, they pinpoint, like with me, I was so much, and that's my mother. I was born out of her belly. But they don't see that what they're doing is dipping in the pot from the mental, from the incapacitated person, from the vulnerable elder, because they don't want to call it incapacitated. And it's legal theft. They dip into their account, they dip into your inheritance, but yet you're the bad guy. And this is what goes on. They should really have a trial. Because if they have a trial, everybody's going to put them, all the they should have a jury, because if if everybody goes into the jury, they're going to put themselves in their on those victim's shoes.
Right.
And mm-hmm. then and there there's not going to be any more of these high attorney's fees and selling of their properties and isolating and all that stuff. They won't
Right. Like I say, Marcy, this is my intake. What we need to do is get rid of the judges and do like a jury, okay? We also need to make sure that the public administrators or the conservators are paid a salary, not from someone's estate, but a salary. We brought that
That's
up in
right.
our legislation, and you know what?
Yep.
They wouldn't pass it because it's too much of a money cabal out there. They don't anything that you suggest they don't want to do because it's taking money out of these attorneys' pockets. You know, so that's the problem we're having in Colorado, and I think that's the problem that's going on through the nation. Right.
Well,
but,
I'm finding.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What I'm finding is we're looking at the wrong direction because we're always
right.
going after Congress about this, right? We have
right.
to find other ways to look at this. Okay, who put Congress where they're at? Who vote? We do, right? So my
uh-huh.
thing was, you know, everybody is like, okay, we just got to go and we got to talk to Congress and we got to do this and go do this. What Congress do is they listen to us, oh, yeah, uh-huh, okay. And, you know, next time this come up, we're going to do this and that. And then be like, oh, something happened and we can't do it right now. So my thing is, okay, you don't do it. We need to have every state need to have an army behind them, okay? And my thing was, you can't get through them by just talking to them one-on-one or the small group. You need large groups. So, okay, what is the largest group behind government in any state? It's the churches, right?
Yes.
So, okay, but let me tell you about that. In our state, I went to, I don't know, I want to say about 50 of our churches and was
right.
telling them about this. And I was wondering, I was like, okay, I'm waiting for the calls to come in so I can come to their church, let them know what's going on to protect their elderly and, you know, form this small army. Well,
mm-hmm.
come to find out, I'm not realizing every time I go to the church, you see these little signs. Senior center. And guess
mm-hmm.
who's going to the senior centers? The senior advocate with his
uh-huh.
sweet little self. And, you know, another thing we do because we're so busy in life is that we hand off the responsibility of things. Like our neighbor, you know, like next door neighbor, let's say she once a week, I would take my neighbor to the store and at the beginning of the month, you know, when she gets a Social Security check, I'll take her to pay all her bills. Well, we're thinking if we call the senior advocate, someone will come in all the time, clean this lady's house maybe, make sure she's okay, make sure she gets her medicine right, because I don't have time for that right now. So this advocate comes in, and you stop. You know, you don't pay attention to the lady anymore because you know you put her in good hands. You don't realize
right.
the next thing you see is that house goes up for sale, and this lady, who probably was fully capacitated, just elderly and a little feeble, is now in this nursing home saying, I am not incapacitated, y'all stop. And the next thing what happens, drugs in the arm, you know, or in the mouth, and now
yeah.
she couldn't even call for help.
Yes. I'm glad you're talking about that, Melissa, because that's the biggest problem that we have is that the drugs come into the arm, the family member is isolated, they're medicated, then they're cremated, and nobody knows. Some of these families can't even find their parents during the capacitation, isolation. They don't even know where their parent is. Then all of a sudden you find out that your mother's deceased, and they cremated them. I mean, this is, to me, is a huge problem in our country. You know, and
it's
just it makes me angry. Every time I see this and every time I talk about it, that's why we keep these shows airing as much as possible, to keep spreading the word about what is going on with our elders and our it's even our special needs children, you know, our little
mm-hmm.
children. It's all the same way to steal from us our inheritances and steal from our parents. You know, this is why we're glad to have these shows. But Melissa, so you tell me that you really didn't see this coming, right?
No, not at all, because we're good kids. We, okay, first of all, I had a really good job about 10 years ago, and my brother's like, and I had an operation, and I was, you know, like laid up at home, which I live right next door to my parents. And in fact, most of my siblings, we all live on Ayers property, so we're right here on the same property. And as I got well, I started doing just little stuff, running my mom to the store and doing, you know, a little here and there, checking on the medicine. And my brother's like, you know what, don't go back to work. We'll just pay all your bills and take care of you if you take care of mom and dad. Now, at this point, they didn't have any health issues, but they just wanted our parents to be taken care of, you know, because we have excellent parents. You know, we grew up with trips to Disney World every summer and a backyard full of horses, you know. So we have no reason in this world to ever be unkind or mean to our parents. So we would never think anything, things like this. But can all of y'all remember when y'all realized what conservatorship really was? Like someone pulled back that curtain and was like, oh my gosh, could this really be happening on US soil? You understand? It's just like, oh my God, that was the most frightening moment of my life, of realizing what this really was and that there was no judicial system to back it.
Right. That to me was the scariest thing, Melissa, because we had that happen to my family. We lost over $5 million in my family. If you go to today's prices in Colorado, that is exactly what happened. My sister told me, what happens if we end up into a courtroom and she's going to, and that judge is going to say, screw you, and screw you. And I thought, they ain't going to do that. We have a judicial system. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't even tell you how I was just, I sat in court literally with my mouth open going, what the hell just happened? Our property of 50 years was just given to some lady who we have no idea what it's all about. I mean, I could not believe all of our property was just given out. And not only that, but it was put on the market within 3 weeks. And we had 120 cars. We had about 75 antique cars that were on the property that were forced off of our property. So I know how every single person out there feels, just like your family. And I saw a picture of your family. They look so sweet, I tell you.
Yes.
If anybody wants to see their picture, it is on our website, Families Against Porn.
I saw that.
Face Us. Oh, my gosh. I just looked at your picture for like 5 minutes saying, oh, my God, I can't believe these people were taken advantage of. But it happens, people. All of these listeners out there, you've got to see. This is real. This happens, you know. But go ahead and tell us, you know, keep going on with your story, because I want our listeners to know that this is real, okay?
It's real, and we all go into it innocently to try to protect our parents, our God-given rights. And you come out of there feeling like, what? You get thrown in a whirlwind, and all of a sudden, everything is like, the houses are gone, their money's gone, your parent is gone, the cars are gone, everything.
Everything's gone.
And then you're the bad guy because you won't.
The anger comes back. I mean, my anger was, I was so angry, I had to go to a psychiatrist because I was like, oh my God, I think I'm losing it. And I did. I actually ended up with adrenal exhaustion. But that's why I'm really kind and considerate.
That's
and I listen
one of
to everybody.
Solutions.
Right. But Melissa, you were talking about earlier that you're still wondering where the money is, because didn't your case sort of like close up and you're still wondering where the money is, or is it still going on?
Yeah, that's the thing. We're just waiting for the money to come back. Well, that they said all they needed is estate planning and, you know, the money would be returned. But let me tell you, I believe in God, and I believe in that, you know, there's going to be the first, because it's only 1% of people that are getting out of conservatorship down here, only 1%. So you know what you're dealing with. But everybody that I've talked to said that we've gotten further than anyone has. But that came as at a cost to my parents and to us. Okay.
Right.
First of all, even if you just forget about the money part, because money
right.
is paper, you could always regenerate that.
Right.
The cost physically, and these are our parents' golden years, and they're in the court system, and they didn't rob anybody, didn't murder anybody, and you mean to tell me it's this hard to get out of something like this? That was the most craziest part about this, and I ended up having a severe nervous breakdown. I ended up in ICU fighting for
mm-hmm.
my life because
yep.
behind this. But you have to
mm-hmm.
fight that hard once you realize, because let me tell you, when it first happened and we were trying to, like, reason with the GAL and Guardian
mm-hmm.
of Lightum and, like, telling, you know, this is what happened. We were duped here. And she kept asking, do you have proof? Do you have proof? And I was like, no, I don't have proof that's what she said. And it was by the grace of God in the middle of the night one night, I do have proof. It's an email. You know,
mm-hmm.
so, it, you know, things like that kept happening. Like, I would figure out things like she was making fun, you know, in the beginning because they had gotten away with it for so long.
I know.
They were bragging, like, oh, no, we never give the money back. Oh, this is the most money we ever had to play with. I was like, play with? That's my parents' money. That's not your money to play with. You know, I was like, oh, my gosh, what is going on here? So,
yeah.
you know, now it's time to research because – using logic and common sense was not working. And when you and then when family services called and said, listen, I need this, and this, and you're like, why you need that? And then you find out they're selling people's home. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
The home, the only home I know for 44 years, that the house, my parents' home is the same age as me. They bought it the same year I was born. And my parents I'm very proud of my parents because they both, when they got married, was 19 and 21.
Uh-huh.
And so neither one had this great education because my dad had a seventh grade education, but he became an electrician and a welder, and my mom became uh-huh. a nurse, you know.
Well,
so
natural intelligence.
Yeah,
yeah,
but see, that's the thing. You know, you see all the struggles they went through, and the fact that they were now in a position to enjoy life. You know, anytime they went on vacation or anytime something broke around the house, I would call one of my brothers and they would send the money. And that's another thing they couldn't hide because all the money was the wire transfer. You can see that we were taking care of our parents for years, you know. So it was just
yeah.
like they did not want to hear one word of it. Like we were put in closets when we went to court. We were not allowed in the courtroom. And we didn't know what was
That's
going
illegal,
on.
That's illegal, by the way. If anybody's
really?
Not allowed in a courtroom, that is very illegal. And we found out because we had a judge come into the show. You can't
right.
do
oh
that.
We had to bring her back,
yeah.
too. We're going to try to bring her back.
Yeah, but that's
oh.
very illegal. The judge cannot keep anyone from a courtroom.
But
so we found that out.
But what's funny about this is, we were told to, I was being brought in for being uncooperative. So that was an invitation to come to court, right? And then we were put in the closet for showing up. And then one a time after that, we were yelled at for being there. And I was like, we have every right to be here. But let me tell you, with all the corruption and the 52 lawyers we went through, some of them were like telling us, listen, we know what is going on in here. We try to get our client out of this, and we couldn't figure out why. You know, it would never work in our favor, so we stopped practicing under conservatorship. They stopped practicing because they realized that there wasn't a due process and fairness involved in it, okay? And then they'll tell us, like, don't touch the money. When you go to court, follow this person, you know, because that person had, like, rights to go places that he shouldn't have and was able to talk to people that he shouldn't have, you know. And it was just like, oh, my God, what is going on here? And, you know, it
yeah.
was really out of our realm because we're quiet people. Mm-hmm. We stay to ourselves. And like I said, I'm the youngest out of, really, it's 10 of us. And my mom is the oldest out of 20. We never, you know, like, had a lot of outside people because, like, even going through school, I was 65 first cousins. I always was with family. So I really was, like, when this happened, I didn't understand it because I was pretty much sheltered all my life. So now I have to become the strong person because every time they said something, I would just bust out and cry in the beginning, you know?
Right.
But it was after my nervous breakdown that I was, you know, with prayer, I built up the strength to deal with these people. And so when they would come after me, because it was, they, you know, it's like they pray for the weakest link. And they realized it was me.
Right.
And
yeah.
I was like, why are you coming after me? What did I?
Did you say your mom was 20?
Melissa,
did you say your mom was one of 20?
But you were.
Yeah, she's the oldest.
But they probably found out that you were one of the weakest links.
Yeah, but I was the weakest link out of our 10 because my mom is 10 girls, 10 boys, and then she had 5 girls, 5 boys because she couldn't keep up with my grandma. So, but and I'm the youngest out of that, you know. So it's just like, you know, we had this lovely life, you know, like picking daisies, and all of a sudden, someone pulled back the curtain in Charleston, and I thought this was a lovely place to live. And then you start to realize things. But the scariest part was realizing how powerful the powerful was. Because, like, that you go to, like, the first thing you do is you go to your capital. You say, okay, if I can't find help here, well, let's go to the capital. And then you realize the corruption is there. I'm just waiting for them to start coming up. And this is an election, a huge election year here. So I'm just waiting for somebody to come on TV and say, yes, we're corrupted. What you going to do about it? Because
you know what? All those legislators in Colorado, they're, a lot of those are attorneys. I was like, oh, my God, no wonder we can't get anywhere. You know? Some of those were the attorneys that – on some of these, not they were represented through those firms that were stealing some from some of our families, and I'm like, oh my God! And I told one of them, I said, you're stealing from one of our families, and they turned red as a beet. But you know what? I just had to say that. Because, you know, guess what? Also, in 35 other states, you can vote out your judges, which we're going to have a huge impact in Colorado because we have a huge meeting coming together July 25th. I've got the date on there. The time is 10 o'clock. We're not sure of the meeting yet. But we're getting about 5 or 6 of our different groups, organizations, with the Judicial Integrity Project, Transparent Courts, Face Us. We've got the Fourth Branch. We're all coming together, and we're going to be talking about how we can get the word out to vote out these judges who are not doing their jobs. And you have 35 other states that can do that. Not sure if your state is on the voting part where I think the governor votes in and we can vote them out. Last year we were successful to vote one out. We did get one out in Adams County. So we're going to hope to get lots out this time because there's so many, especially up in Boulder County. I've had nothing but complaints out in Arapahoe County, nothing but complaints. And so I'm really, really focusing on let's get these bad judges out and let's get some better ones in there because I know we have some great judges, everybody. There is great judges. And there's also some great attorneys there.
Yeah.
You know, we have great attorneys.
I think that the judge that I'm been going try to resolve my mother's case, he seems to be a fair judge. At least he wants my mom to have an interpreter, you know. But he seemed to be compassionate with my mother. I just don't think that he knows the whole, he has the whole picture. Because I think that he hasn't been giving the whole, a judge needs to know everything from both sides. And he really could mean getting rid of my attorney so I can go to him and say, this is the reality of everything. So I don't believe that all judges are bad.
No. And you know what?
They're infected.
The only thing I want to say is that we do have some judges that do not listen to the families, though. I was in our courtroom.
That's
our thing, sure, what we had to say. They wouldn't even let us speak. So you know what? We ended up out there with a whole bunch of signs out there in front of that courtroom, and I tell you what, that judge stepped down about a year later, 6 months to a year later. I ain't kidding you. And so it was because we were out there petitioning. I know it, and that's what you have to do. I mean, and I told people in the Judicial Performance Commissioners, I said, look, we can do it, and also in front of the Supreme Court. I'm actually going to post that up on the website pretty soon, everybody. We did get these people out from our group and a whole bunch of other groups that went in front of the Supreme Court and talked about probate rules. And I tell you what, it was a slam dunk for our groups to go in there and tell the Supreme Court what is going on with the probate courts. I'm actually going to be posting that up onto the website as soon as I just got the video that came in. It's on YouTube, and it just came in. But hats off to our group that went down there. I wasn't able to join in, but I tell you what, I spoke in front of the Supreme Court, and it's kind of a really good experience to get up there and tell them what they're doing, you know, what they know about what is going on. So they definitely got an earful here in Colorado. But I would, you know, suggest everybody tries to get into the Supreme Court and try to talk to them. You know, if they have public events, you need to get in there and try to talk to them, because it is really a neat thing to do, and you also get it off your chest. And I would work that way, too. That seems to be helping a lot. And also, our Supreme Court Justice, she stepped down. So we are making some good waves out here in Colorado. But, it's a lot of effort. None of us get paid for this. I want everybody to know that. None of us get paid for it. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, we've been spending a lot of money. I also want to let everybody know, if they want to call into the show, they can do that, to ask a question or if they have a comment. And the number you call into is 845-241-9962. Again, it's 845-241-9962, and you press a 1, and that will raise your hand if you want to talk to Melissa or any of us here at the studio. I just wanted to put that into everybody's ear. Anyway, I agree with you, Melissa, and I agree with you, Marcy, that we have a big problem going on, and you don't realize it, knowing that our judicial system is failing us, or it has failed us. I haven't seen too many people really go into a court and get justice so far. I haven't seen too many. And if anybody does get justice, please come on our show. Email me. Contact me. The way you do that is Luann, L-U-A-N-N-E, at FaceUs, FaceUs.org. Or you can always find me on Facebook, Luann Fleming, L-U-A-N-N-E, F-L-E-M-I-N-G. So I just want everybody to know that. That's how you can get a hold of me. And you can always contact Marcy Friedman. She's also up on Facebook. And that's Marcy Friedman, right?
Right.
And you also have a Facebook page, don't you, Melissa? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's called This Is Us, the Bennett Family. And we put it together to try. We're really just trying to find other people, because we're trying to stop this statewide. We just don't, because when I called the Attorney General's office, and they were like, we don't have any jurisdiction, but we're getting flooded with calls from every county. I was like, are you serious? Is that bad? You know, and I mean, it's just every time you go to another list, like, golly, how are y'all getting away with this? You know, it's just like, but it makes so much money for so many different entities, especially when if dad dies in the system, the death taxes, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe how many people within the state make money off of that part alone. So they're making millions, but they're not keeping up with it in a way that people can see and be like, oh, my gosh, they're making all this money off of it. It's kind of hidden here and there. So that's why people don't – and, like, I thought when I started telling people about it, it was, you know, going to be like, oh, my goodness, you know what's going on. We got to get involved here. People don't believe me. Like, no, they can't do that. I hear that all the time. Like, it took me 10 months to get on TV. We got on News 2 down here. And when I was like emailing 25 people a day, and it was to the point where I was getting like an hour sleep a night for like weeks at a time, because I was either on the computer going researching. It takes a lot to even get, you know, anything done. Because every time they try to do something, you have to stop it. And we were very lucky that we had a lawyer that had a friend that worked down at the courthouse that had given us some information that, listen, these are the three things they're going to do to you, will try to do. And I stopped every last one of it. And, you know, but it took everything I had to do it. Like you say, you have to see someone. I have to see someone now. I've never needed a psychiatrist, never been stressed, depressed to the point where I needed to see anyone. But I have to see someone every once in a while because it's so much to wrap your head around.
Yeah,
it's just,
I know.
And when
yourself, because what I find, I've been dealing with this since 2011. And,
oh, my God, no.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, my mother was a fighter, and she,
yeah.
I am so much like her. She used to say, you know, if you never did anything right, you fight. And she asked me to fight for her. She didn't want to leave her place. But when I think about her sleeping inside a garage alone with fall, I wake up in the middle of the night, and I know that God is with me because I have to, I listened to Joel's theme, and he said, God will put those enemies so he can promote you. And I'm thinking, how can I put this into a positive view because my poor mom. But see, she doesn't know because they don't know because she's a vulnerable adult. But I know that God has her in his hands, and I know that God put this burning desire inside of me, and He puts people like Luann and now you, and all over. This is a godly thing that He wants us. Even though our parents are the ones that are suffering, but I really think that God is getting ready to do something big because it's like the Amber Alert. He took that little girl, but look at her and her parents. And now there's Amber Alerts. A lot of kids have been saved because of that child being victimized. And I really think that God really put this burning desire in all of us. And we're warriors, and we're just not going to stop. I'm never going to stop. And you know what? I go on August the 23rd to the court. If I don't get to resolve this for my mother, I will go to the White House and go picket in front of the White House. This is how strongly I feel about this. I'm never going to stop. And I think when it comes to there is a bond between a parent and a child, that no one can tear that apart. I see it in Luann. I see it in you. I see it in me. And I see it on all of us victims because you're also a victim. We're victim of seeing our parents mistreated.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
no,
we're painful.
Like you say, Marcy, my love between my mom and I is so strong that today she's in a nursing home. And I have complete control of my mom and not her money because the public administrator still has our family trust. But I have control of my mom, her social security check or whatever. But I get to actually be with my mom every day. And I go down there and I whisper in her ear and I say, I love you, Mom. And she gives me the biggest smile. And I swear to God, that melts my heart every single day.
Right.
And I fight for her, and I fight for all the other mothers. I fight for all the other parents, and I fight for all the families because what they're doing to our family is stupid. It's wrong.
And Luann, there was a time, though, that your mother was being brainwashed, correct?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Because that's what isolators do. There's got to be a reason why they isolate. Right? That's what they do.
They do.
And
you know
no matter what, The love of your mother was always strong, correct?
Right.
No matter what they said to your mom's heart still loved you.
Well, my
like
mom's heart's amazing. I cry every time I go in their nursing home, and I see all these other people in there too. And I was told that a lot of those other people have guardians in there too, and I already know who they are, you know. And I feel sorry for them, so I treat them as good as I can every time I go in there. But I know the love I have with my mom, and it's so real. And my mom and I were so close, and that's why I keep the fight going on, because these are our parents. We have the God-given right to get our inheritance, to make sure parents live the golden light, the golden
life
they're supposed to live. They're not supposed
to
be going through guardianship and conservatorship and being isolated. This, to me,
and being on trial, because that's what it is.
Because that's what they do, because they want their money, that's why. Not because
they care for them. These people need to get a real job and quit messing with our families. That's what needs to happen. Anyway, we have another caller. Let's go ahead and bring this caller in. It's a 239 number. 239, you're on the air live.
Yes.
Yes,
can you hear
Joanne Fleming and Marcy Friedman and Melissa Bennett. Go ahead. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hillary, how are you?
Hi, Hillary. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm so sorry to hear about your family and what's going on, but it happened to me, and it's absolutely unbelievable. The lawyers that represent your family members, they're disinterested lawyers. They want nothing other than to collect money from the family members, and they do nothing to help anyone but themselves.
Yeah.
And they're officers of the courts. That's the sad part, that they're okay. They're okay seeing abuse and looking the other way. And these people are officers of the courts.
Right. It's just so sad that nothing is being done. And again, 7 months in, my dad, he hasn't left the house in almost 2 months because he's afraid that someone else will put him in guardianship jail. You know, our family has been ruined. My 9-year-old son has panic attacks when he sees a car that looks like my sister's, who started the guardianship proceedings, and he's so afraid that someone will come and take his grandfather.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. What city is she in?
And you know something?
What city?
I'll help you. I went to Elder Affairs. I called everyone. We have no one to turn to other than each other.
Mm-mm. Wow. And you're down in Texas, right?
No, I'm in Collier County.
Yeah, you're in Collier County.
Oh, that's one of the worst counties. In Florida, Collier County is infested with abuse.
It is. And you know something, Marcy? I am trying my best. From the minute I get up until the minute I go to sleep, I'm researching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for other victims. I'm looking at court cases, and I'm seeing what is going on. And it's, you know, as you said, cookie cutter. It's the same cast of characters, the same lawyers, the same judges, the same guardians. And again, this is my fight. I don't look for missions in life, but when one is presented to me, and I know I'm 100% correct, I will fight until I die. Because what is happening to all of us throughout the states is criminal.
Yes.
Right.
You know what we need to do? We need to create... You know how they created a page with all the faces of the victim, but everybody with their mother or their dad? And then when you have everybody put together and they see that there's more than one, that's going to start making an impact.
Right.
You know,
we know it's not even, it's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of victims.
Yeah.
I mean, living and dying. I read a story today about a guardian, and with the help of different doctors and rehab and nursing facilities, she stole over $500,000 each year. And you know something? All of our family members, they worked hard to save their money to give it to their sons and their daughters and their grandchildren and to be content in their
retirement. But they used that against you. When my mother and dad did certain things for me, even when my dad was alive, they brought that up in court. A parent can give their children anything they want.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
oh
yeah,
my
that's
goodness.
The way it should be.
It's total jealousy.
Well, you know what? They turn everything around to make the caregivers the guilty people. And that's what really, really irks me, is that I've done everything for my dad, and now we have strangers coming in and taking all of my dad's money.
It's character assassination. That's what they do. Character
assassination. No, they do all kinds of stuff.
They character assassinated me.
Right.
Well, what she really needs to do in Florida is, the first thing is, all these people that you know are going through this, y'all need to get together. And the next thing you need to do is start protesting one by one. You know, go to, you know, whoever the guardian is. You know, start getting in the newspaper. Start getting, because that's how we started getting things to kind of even look a little fair, was to get into the newspaper. It took us about 10 months to get on TV. But, I mean, that's with 25 letters a day. That was my goal. Every day I had to do 25. Sometimes I would write people and be like, I don't even know who that is. You know. But when we finally got one response in 10 months now, one response out of 25 a day. And when she emailed me, I had to stand back from the computer. Like, what? She want to hear more about what?
Yeah,
you know, it was so crazy.
What I do is this. I go to the courthouse and I look at the guardianship cases. I'll put in a lawyer and then I'll get the cases. I'll look for the next of kin and I'll write them a letter saying, looking for victims, this, that, and the other. I mean, I've sent 50 letters and I've gotten 2 responses. And you know what? I'm happy to get the 2 responses. You know?
Exactly. You know what? I tell you one thing. You want to know what helps? I'm up to 50 families in Colorado already, 11 different districts.
Mm.
That's how widespread it is in Colorado. And out of 28 families came forward to talk about their estates. And guess what? Out of that, there was $58 million that went through the probate courts. And it took something like $6 million to get that money. Try to get your own money back. So there's over $62 million that has gone through the probate courts. And I would say there's only $5 million that was returned to some of the families out of all of those families.
All going to strangers.
All going to strangers. That's $50 million.
It goes to the attorneys, and then they can't wait to put in their fees. My mother was over $180,000. Imagine.
Yeah.
She came from Cuba. We even picked the tomatoes, you know. And all her life dream was to live in that ocean, and the apartment was paid for, and they took her. It's horrible. Well,
it's
if people have to do that and wait till they get vulnerable, there is a God. God is big, and God is watching every single one of them.
And yeah, you know,
you say
and
that
it's
God
great, Marcy, and I hope so, but you know, some.
A life believing God. He puts bad people in your life to promote you.
Yeah,
you'll
see
that at the end of this whole thing, something big is going to happen because there's just too many cases now.
Right.
This is
I also want to talk to everybody. I also want to talk to everybody. I've had a lot of people approach our organization and ask if they could start a Face Us in different states, and I'm actually considering that. I'm considering with the people that are our Face Us group. I'm actually been considering that. And I know I was talked to about someone down in Texas, and I know Marcy's out in Florida. So I'm mm-hmm. actually thinking about it. If you're interested in starting a Faces group, maybe we can get Faces into all 50 states. I mean, I'm serious.
That sounds really good. Mm-hmm.
I think it's called like a cell. You do a cell in every state. And it, listen,
right.
You know how I feel? If I can help one family, then
right.
at least I help one family. But everywhere
exactly.
I go, I went to the bakery today, a lady said the same thing happened to her. How she lost everything, how her mom lost everything. It's like, I would say one of 10 people have been victimized. But
the thing is, to me, you know, it's not about my father. It's about mm-hmm. your mother. It's about father, mother, whoever. It's about all of us because their only crime has been going old with assets, and that is it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
now you're on trial for murder.
Right. You know what? Every day I wake up and I'm furious.
Isolation is mortality. It was in Time Magazine. There's a big article in Time Magazine that I read today.
Yeah, of
right.
course it is.
Marcy, try
to
find me. I'll try to
find
that article too. I'll try to find that article too and post it.
I sent it to you. I texted it to you on your text
messages. Okay, I get like thousands of texts a day. I just go blah, you know. Let me see if I can find that text. I'll get to share that with everybody.
Yeah.
The
point of the matter is
that we have done nothing wrong. Our parents have done nothing wrong. Other than work their whole lives to provide for their families and to have money to give to their offspring.
Not to go to all these attorneys.
And that's what...
Right.
And they take everything away from our parents.
Right.
Yeah, just mentally, because what they do is that... And I'm not saying all attorneys, and I'm not naming names, and I'm not pointing the finger, but what happens is they character assassinate in order for them to build and create this mental man in the family, crawling on the vulnerable, our parents, okay? That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt.
But there is hope, though, because if you think about the Nevada case, you know, it is possible to get out of this. So, you know, anytime I try to get down, keep thinking, okay, remember the Nevada case, you know, that it is possible.
But you know something?
It takes a lot. And
It is, but you know something? Honestly, it's few and far between. There's a case in Florida, Southwest Florida, that there's a...
You keep fading in and out.
Yeah, it's fading in and out. I'm gonna hang up a second and I'm gonna call back.
Okay.
I'm gonna hang up and call back. Yeah.
Okay. But you're fading in and out. You know what? I want to. Right.
And
I wanted to. Melissa, are you still with us?
I'm gonna hang up and call back because it's breaking up.
Okay. Melissa, how much money has your family spent on trying to preserve your legacy?
We haven't been keeping up with that. Everybody, because it's so many of us, each one of us been getting like different lawyers, and doing different things. We never sat down see what the other one has spent. But at one point, they gave us a lawyer that we couldn't even get rid of. Like, she was never our lawyer, but she was making decisions, and it was going in the court filings.
Uh-huh.
That was the craziest part of this.
You know,
and it was like, stop.
Your family. I am so sorry because you didn't deserve it. And you know what? You feel like you're in the twilight zone.
It's like you cannot believe that it's happening. And people say, well, you know something, you know, just the judge will do right by you. Get a lawyer. You'll be fine. It'll be okay.
Uh-huh.
And it's not. It's not. There's no going back. And
it's scary because you don't know which lawyer's with you.
No, because more than likely, none of them are. And that's what's even scarier, you know. And it's from every state that I've heard of, it's a nightmare, and it's all because of the money. It's never about the person's well-being, and that's what they say. You know, it's for the protection of your father or mother, you know, but it's not. It's all about them making money.
Well, yeah, when I told him, I said, if it's about protecting the my father, then it's not just the money you have to protect, but the human being. And I told him when I was the guardian, that's my job. So if you're taking advantage of my father, it's up to me to stop you from doing so. Well, they stopped talking to me, and next thing you know, I was being pulled into court for being uncooperative.
Oh, yeah, only for taking care of your family. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, you just can't stop fighting. If you can get, even if you can't find other people who've been through this, well, in our state, they can supersede power attorney. So my thing is, if you're planning, is the same there?
Yes.
Okay, so
Florida,
my thing was, go ahead.
No, thank you so much. In my dad's situation, in order for him not to get a full guardian, I had to relinquish my power of attorney. It means power of attorney and a will means absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And you know what?
That doesn't make any sense.
A lot of people have been coming up to me and telling me that they are, the courts turn them into guardians, but they don't let that guardian take the person home with them. They say that you, even though you're a guardian, the court order is they have to be put into a nursing home. And I thought, that is the craziest thing I have ever heard.
Because
of the money. They want to keep making the money.
Right. And the nursing homes, the guardian kickback from the nursing homes. If they put a ward in the nursing home, they get a kickback.
Right.
Yeah, and now I've got it too.
I'm trying my best. I mean, I'm working night and day trying
to
decipher it.
Okay, yes. Marcy's back with us.
Yes.
Okay. You're working night and day to try to get your father back?
Right. No, my father's living with me because in order to get my father out of guardianship, I had to relinquish my power of attorney, and his lawyer in Winter Park has access, you know, is marshaling his funds. But I've seen cases where the ward, you know, the guardian puts the ward in the same nursing home time and time again because sure as you know what, they're getting a kickback for each person they put in that nursing home.
Oh, my God.
It's
all about money.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know what? We got to stay on the side of common sense.
Exactly.
No, but they do. We have to stay on the side of common sense because if we start trying to think like them and realizing that, oh, my God, it's doom, then we're going to become doomed. So my first thing is, if we stay on the side of common sense, you got to keep on fighting and find people to stand with you. Go to churches.
Definitely.
Let me tell you the story. There was a lady a couple of years ago, my nephew was telling me that a crazy person. A crazy lady came into the store in which he worked and was randomly going around telling everybody that these people took her dad. She's from Greenville. And her dad lives in Charleston. These people took her dad from out of his home and took all his money, and she can't get him back. So everybody thought she was crazy. Like, what is this lady talking about? And here we are, that lady, because I'm going around and telling people the same story. You know?
Yeah. Right.
So it's just like, And it's like, it's so bizarre.
But isn't it funny? I'll tell people, you know, they came in, you know, they served my dad. Well, they served me. My dad never got paperwork. My sister kidnapped him, and I can't get anyone to help. And people will say, well, you know, what's going wrong? You know, what did you do wrong? And it's like people think you're crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are the crazy lady.
You know what my granddaughter tells me? She says, Grandma, she goes, you have girl power. And I'm like, yes, I do.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm.
Let's do this. I have girl power.
Yes, you do.
That cracks me up.
And again, it's, but you know something? It's so true, Luann, because honestly, every Wednesday, I wait to call in to hear what's going on and, of course, to put in my 20 cents because this is more than I have with anything. I've never found anyone to help me with what I've gone through. And, again, my family will never be the same. We've been traumatized for life.
Yes.
So this is – you've done more for my family than any agency has.
Wow. And aren't you going to become one of our hosts pretty soon?
Well, I hope so. Yes, I'd love to. You know,
right.
And,
we're going to actually have Hillary come on as one of our co-hosts. I've been reaching out randomly to several people. And, Melissa, I give you the same opportunity. If you want to co-host with me a show, you can do that with me. We could look for some more people that want to come onto the show. Just let me know, and I'll put different names in there randomly to co-host because I think it's important that we keep bringing in different states. You know, we've got
without a doubt.
Florida,
I
Texas,
agree.
And we'll have some from Charleston, and we're going to keep bringing these shows live every Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And if any of
because,
you
know something,
do your own radio show, I will,
us,
teach you how.
Yeah.
I will teach you how to do that. It's not hard. Well, it takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, and it takes time to finding hosts, you know, to come on, guests to come on. But it's so worth it. It is so worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the work.
Knowing
that a lot of
news is unbelievable.
Agents don't do their job. Right. So if any of you want to do any of that, let me know. I mean, I'll be glad to teach you. Okay?
Okay.
And I own the radio channel 7 days a week, so you can do any night of the week you want to do a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
I give everybody.
Yeah, it's so important.
Right.
It is. And also, if you guys would share it to your friends, share the link and create, that way it starts to snowball. It continues to snowball because it's already snowballing.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe from there's going to be another family in need. And, I mean, to me, it's been a huge part of the healing process, knowing that I wasn't alone. And talking to Luann has helped me a lot because she's been through the cookie cutter nightmare. And it's been part of my healing. I'm so grateful and thankful. And she's so passionate about this, and it's doing God's work because anytime you help a family in need, a vulnerable person who can defend themselves, who are being isolated, who they're not able to. I mean, personally, me, I'm not able to be with my mother alone. The lady who keeps her, she hovers over my mother.
Terrible.
And,
uh-huh.
I mean. She's in prison, and I see the pain and the sadness, but then she can't really comprehend what's going on, and she'll tell me in the conversation, I don't understand what happens, and then she gets to a lucid moment, leave it to God, and then she'll say, you know, I was with you till the children dropped their umbilical cord. It's just like, in her way, she's trying to tell me from her heart. And it's happened to Luann. Mm. It's happened to you. It's happened to
you know something, Marcy. Marcy, more importantly, you are a
She is your mother. Who better to be mm-hmm. with her than someone who loves her? Period. Mm-hmm. The end. No one
yes.
should be making decisions for your mother other than you.
And that's
right.
what she
you know,
always wanted it. It took her, you know, when I went to protect her, that's what happened because she was vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody in that yeah. always wanted.
Exactly. And that's another thing that really makes me want to fight until I die because
mm-hmm. I
am. Your mother.
If she's my mother and she's mm-hmm. 94 and she does not deserve this. And
yeah,
I
of course she doesn't.
Fight till I die. Even when she's
and I will
gone,
back you up.
We will continue to fight it so no one else suffers like I'm
mm-hmm.
suffering and my mother's suffering.
Exactly.
This is the worst pain I think I've ever been in my life, fighting for
yes.
my parents.
Yeah.
I mean,
uh-huh.
I've never been so hurt. I don't even know how to explain the hurt. I keep telling people, just think of the person you love the most and kill them 10 times. And that still
but
will
you know
not
something?
Feel the
people
crushing.
People cannot, yeah. People can't understand, though. Unless they're
in
the same situation, they cannot
right.
understand it. They think of relationship of, oh, it's good, it's for kids, and this and that. Unless you've been through the same predicament, you can't understand it. I've told
right.
so many people, and they don't get it. And I get it because I'm here. And I understand what you're feeling. I looked at the picture of your family, and I said, what is wrong with this country that they would want to do this to a loving family who have done
mm-hmm.
nothing wrong? And it kills me every single day. It kills me. That
yeah,
this is happening
to
you.
They're
I
doing it
you all
to our parents.
Well, I tell you
it's,
you know?
It's watching our parents being beat up emotionally and physically
yes.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Not only that, you know, we have a lot of families out there. We have a lot of people out there that are in special needs trusts. And I know some of that, or some people now that have a you know brain tumors, and they and people that can't read or write, and they went in and they took their homes away. They were taking their special needs trusts away, and they're and these people are being kicked out into the street. What the hell is wrong with
mm-hmm.
that picture? You know, it just makes me angry. I get phone calls every single day. And they're begging me, can I help them? And I'm like, well, okay, I'll go to court with you guys as soon as I can. But, you know, I can't do a magic wand, but just get educated and just let other people know what is going on in society. You know, because
but you
if
know
we,
something
don't,
else.
We don't stop this, it's going to continue. You know, and
of
it's up
course,
to us.
And everyone says, everyone says, you know, the baby boomer, you know, it's only going to get worse, but in every single state, it's a big little secret. No one knows
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly
so
what it is. No
how
knows.
Are they keeping it this quiet? That's why they hate us in Charleston, because we're loud, and we are so blessed that we have National Action Network, you know, with Al Charlton people. We
uh-huh.
have someone here named Elder Johnson, and he is passionate about it to the point where
thank
sometimes,
for
you
him.
Know, I am, you know, like I'm pushing with all I got, and he's telling me that I need to step it up. And I love that about him because he's like, okay, you're not doing enough.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm about to pass out here. But every week we go out and we protest in front of family services until they give the money back. And he said, we're not going to stop until they give the money back. And one day it was like thundering outside. And I was like, okay, we're going to have to cancel the day. He's like, no, we're not. What is your problem? So we went out, and thank God it was sunny, you know, because he want our parents to be out there. But my dad was never incapacitated other than the fact that he had a UTI, and it's a 10-day clear. So why did they do
mm-hmm.
this? It was for the
because
money,
because
right?
he had
but
money.
You had to
that's
fight for his capacity. You know, it took them, I think, about 11 months to even test him because he was so capacitated. And they kept coming around
of
just
course.
Enough. I'm sending
Melissa,
somebody around
know,
just
I mean,
enough.
Melissa, did
but
you know
something?
Muhyiddin, the Black Lives Matter advocate? His name is Muhyiddin.
No.
Were you out? He
I've
was
never.
Killed, he was killed in New Orleans. Did you know about him?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you what, he was a Black Lives advocate, and we knew him really well. He was in South Charleston. He was out in New Orleans, and these people went up to him, and they shot him and killed him, and he was a huge advocate. So I think that was all set up. I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know something? You're lucky that you have an advocate, because in the 20th Circuit Court, there are five counties. It's a huge, huge area. We don't have anyone. The newspapers won't report it. The television shows won't report it. No one will say anything. No, the person who's in charge of, you know, she's a poster child for guardianship reform. She will do nothing for us. There is no one.
What they do is they scare these people. And let me tell you, we had people like when they first found out about it, they were jumping out of their chair. No, we're going to be behind you. And the next time it's like a robot. It's like, you know, when they started digging into, like, you know, it's just best to do what they say. Do what they say? That's don't make no. And let me tell you, that's why I kept saying, you know, we had two lawyers that told us, and it really did scare my dad when they said, you know, be careful, you're ruffling a lot of feathers. And the other one told us, you know, you're upsetting balance, Ms. Bennett. You got to be careful with this. And then we had, like, people sitting in front of my parents' house, and I told my brother about it, and he's like, no, Melissa, they're not doing that. And then one day he came by, and he's like, oh, my God. And, like, the day that we went to Elder Johnson, it took us, okay, let me tell you how corrupt it is. We thought we were talking to Elder Johnson's people for months. And come to find out, we weren't. And it was for someone we knew, and we called them and told them, listen, we were trying to get in touch with Elder Johnson. We thought we were with him. And they kept telling us, as soon as you get a lawyer, you get to meet him because he's kind of higher up. So we just thought, you know, we're having these hard time finding a lawyer. That's why we can't get to him. Well, when we got his number, he said, I'm going to give you his private home number. And they gave it to him, and that minute he was like, okay, be in my office tomorrow. We're going to do this, this, and this. And guess what? The same day we went to him, we got a lawyer. It took us 52 lawyers. Same day we went to him, Al Shonson people got us a lawyer. And then on top of that, it was the same day that my dad's guardian, GAL, decided to put in the papers to dismiss. And it was while we were in the meeting for the first time. After 187 days, after daddy was rendered incapacitated, it took her 187 days. And on that 187 days, we were in Elder Johnson's office, and my brother's phone started going off and off, and she never calls back to back. That's when we knew for sure we were being followed, because that just happened to be the day, you know, she called just to say she was on her way to take the papers, not that she had put it in. So that was to let us know, you know, you don't need to do anything else, you know. It's just been that crazy. Oh, no, now they haven't stopped, though. Because now I noticed that what they don't understand is our neighborhood is predominantly different groups of family. And all but one group of family here is actually in one way or another not related to us. And we know each other. So when you see different people coming in the neighborhood, you kind of know, you know, you're like, who's that? You know, because this is the country. Everybody knows everybody. And now they are riding bicycle. And you can tell they're like police officer types. And it's like, okay. And then they're only riding in front of the house. And I'm looking through my side window and realizing they're making a U-ey in front of the house. I'm like, what are they looking for? So, you know, that's why, we have cameras and stuff on the house, so we're not worried about it. But it's creepy. And it's scary. It's a little scary, you know, but my parents pretty much okay because we got enough, you know, security as far as cameras and stuff around. But it's just the idea that my dad had gone through a period where he started locking himself in the house when we left the house. Like, Daddy, why you lock up in the house, you know? and he would be so scared. And that kills me to this day. Like, the people that are doing this, even if they're listening into your show right now, they need to know how they are affecting the elderly. You know, y'all need to realize how y'all are affecting the elderly's life. It's not just about the money, okay? It's about how y'all are affecting somebody's life. You know, the pursuit of happiness is part of what we are here in America for, that we are promised. And I can't believe that, you know, they're able to do this, because no matter how you try to wield it, financial exploitation is still financial exploitation, even if it's the people that's supposed to protect you.
That's right.
Exactly. You cannot legalize rape, nor can you by financially exploiting the elderly. You know? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And then you know what they even do? You know what I found out? That these are some of the tactics that they're doing. They are electronically withdrawing money from a guardianship account. Did you know that that was illegal? So if you got to go through your dad's stuff, if they've done that, they can't do that. Any money withdrawn electronically, also bouncing checks, they can't do that. And they've been doing it. That's also very illegal. So they are, whoever is doing that, and I know who they are, that is financial theft. And it is very illegal to do in a guardianship, because that's not doing what is best for the ward.
Yeah, and you know what the problem is, though? Is we have no judicial system.
You got to consent when you find the evidence.
Yeah. The only thing that helps
that is
the
law. That is the Florida statute.
Right. The only thing
your state, you present it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the only thing that helps is to publicly embarrass these people, not threaten them. I mean, you don't ever want to go to a judge and threaten them. You don't ever want to do any of that.
No, that's my best friend.
No, nobody's talking about threatening anybody. I'm just saying that if
you want to have a very polite demonstration, you want to have a very polite, and you always want to get permission. If you go in front of picketing somewhere, you always want to get permission to be there. That's the number one thing. Every time we went in front of the Supreme Court, we had permission. We had permission every time we went judicial system, we had permission. And in fact, the police would tell us where we could pick it at. You know, we wore our masks.
Yeah, just stay on the side of legal. Always stay on the side of legal, yes.
Right. Always try to stay as legal as you can, because these people, some of them are very unscrupulous, and they can hurt you. You know, and you just never
They got the power.
I'm not talking about threatening anybody. I'm not talking about threatening anybody. I'm just saying, if she goes through her stuff, and if she finds that electronic withdrawals have been made in a guardianship, that's illegal.
Yeah.
Because
you know what? A lot of us, another thing, we talk about this, but we don't put in our papers. Like Department of Justice and the FBI, under the color of law, they have the right, if they want to look into this too, you know? So my thing is, even if it's falling on deaf ears, just continue to put in your papers. If you find something that they did wrong, you know, put in those papers. Just continue to do it until you harass the right person, until they're like, let me just look at this. You know?
Right.
You know, everybody, sometimes you just assume that no one's going to do anything. Well, so what? Sitting home is not going to do you any good. You understand?
Right.
Right now, me and my mom share a phone. I get an allowance, and before all this happened, I had more than enough money to do whatever I need to do. All my money, every month from my allowance, goes on Xerox and papers and giving people packets. And, you know, 99% of the time, no one responds. But that one time is probably all you need to get started. You understand? There is a local newspaper here that did this big write-up on all the corruption. And then when I finally found somebody else 10 years later, they you know, I was talking back and forth with this person. And when they had said, and they were, you know, I told you that we had a lot of lawyers that were helping us, that they were going to bring in security for our educated family, that, you know, we are not rowdy. They were going to bring in security. And, you know, when somebody brings in security, even if you're not doing anything, it can turn real bad real quick. You understand? So my thing was, we invited every human being, every newspaper, everybody, please come to court, our last court date. They end up canceling court because the people from different newspapers and stuff started calling down there. Now, this particular newspaper was about to do a story on us. When they called me back, they was like, they yelled at us for wanting to come. We don't understand. This is too much for us. Guess what? Went cold. Went dead cold. The next thing you know.
That's what
happened. Yeah, but guess what now? All of the write-ups about how wonderful probate court is. So someone got to somebody. So that's scary.
Yeah.
And
you know what happened to us? So we had Channel 4 News come out and interview all of our families with the senator. And then that senator, she didn't get voted back in. But before that, all of our stories was canceled. I know for a fact that somebody got to their attorneys down there that were in that Channel 4 News. And I think threatened or something. All of a sudden, there was no more shows. Let's see if we can bring this over to Colorado. 804 number, you're with us?
Hello, Luann.
Hi.
It's Rick Black.
Hi, Rick Black. Hey, everybody, it's Rick Black.
Hey, Rick.
Hello. How you
Hello.
Doing? Everyone. Melissa, thanks for sharing your story. My family's Gamecocks. I know you know what that means.
Yes.
we spend a lot of time between Columbia and Charleston, and actually we'll spend more time between the two towns as our son has taken a job there in Charleston. My question for you, the current president of the National College of Probate Judges is a black female by the name of Judge Tamara Cummings there in Charleston. And I reached out to her about a year ago, attempting to offer an olive branch to try to engage her in a discussion on how the Probate Judges College could support reforms in terms of trust fraud, probate fraud, adult guardianship fraud. Have you attempted to reach out to her and that organization?
No, we have not. In fact, I've never even heard of them. I thought Judge Irvin Condon was the head of the guardianship conservatorship.
Yeah, that's true.
Area of this.
He is the head of that effort there in the Charleston area, but this is a national organization, and one of the reasons that I reached out to him is that their board of directors has three judges that have been involved in some very unscrupulous efforts in Harris County, Texas, the Houston area. Judge Christine Butts, who has a reputation being her friends in the bar at the expense of families. Judge James Walther up in Lorain County, Ohio, the Cleveland area, guilty of the same shenanigans, and there's one other that I can't remember off the top of my head, but because you have such proximity there and because of the experience, obviously egregious experience of your family, and the fact that I'm located, we live up here in Charlotte, but I put a note on your Facebook page. At first I had heard of you was when I got Luann's note on the show tonight, and I'd like to work with you because we're of a kindred spirit, and I just really respect you for your fight and what your entire family has done for your parents' legacy.
And can you tell us, Rick, exactly what organization you're with now?
The National Action.
No, what organization are you with, Rick? What's the name of CEAR? C-E-A-R?
Yeah. I'm actually in the process of getting my organization off the ground. I've made the rounds. I have done a lot over the last 5 years to drive unity nationwide, to get us all singing from the same hymnal, because this is a legitimate national issue. And it affects a lot more people than any of us know. My estimates, based on a lot of analysis that I've done, is that there's 10,000 new victims every year. And until we all elevate this in unison to federal leadership, national leadership, and demand a change, and to the public. I loved your comments on the media, Melissa, because you learn very quickly in this thing, those who are well paid at the local, state, and federal level to protect the vulnerable, to protect our seniors, when the judicial system steps in, or more concerning, the legal community steps in, they exit stage left. And the fact is, there is no redress for families like yours or mine or the thousands of others to get conscripted into this system every year. And the phrase I use is, a law license doesn't give you a license to be lawless. And what we see routinely is the legal community recognizes that they've scared off all the people and organizations that are paid to protect people like your dad, and they can pretty much run carte blanche. And as you talked about, you got the appointment with news media, it was ready to go public, amazingly, then people decide your dad's not that important anymore. But you're one in 10,000 with your activism. Yeah. The fact that you have 8 children that are willing to put it out there in front of the public that, hey, dad didn't do anything wrong and dad deserves to be protected, you're a unique breed. And you know, although I'm sure your pain is beyond compare, you've also been extremely lucky, as I'm sure you appreciate. My organization is CEAR. It's the Center for Estate Administration Reform. There's 3 directors, my wife and I, and an attorney out of Denver, Colorado, by the name of Athena Rowe. What we do is advocate mostly in Washington, D.C., both with the Department of Justice and with elected officials, to drive national reforms to correct the way our equity courts are run today. And the focus is trust fraud, probate fraud, and the one that's near and dear to my wife and I is fraudulent adult guardianships, because we lost her dad in a guardianship, and we ultimately got the guardian convicted of theft and exploitation, but it doesn't take away the pain.
It was
a
small victory in a very, very terrible journey. So anyway, I won't take any more time on the show.
Though.
I just wanted to compliment you, certainly to Lou Ann and the team there. You guys are warriors, and we all take strength from what you do across the country. So keep it up.
And I'll get you in touch with Melissa, and I'll both make sure that you both exchange phone numbers and everything too. I'll make sure that both of you get that.
Yes, sir. Really appreciate it. We appreciate you, Rick. Anything that I can also help, let me know.
Me too.
Yeah, no,
I'm
no,
always here.
No concerns. I know you guys are on this every day, and from one Gamecock to another, Melissa. The next time we're down in Charleston, we're actually going to be there for a short visit this weekend. I'll reach out to you, and we'll be assured to share some food together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just let me know.
You bet.
Yeah.
Take
care.
That's
cool, you guys. Well, that's why we have these radio shows, is to connect You know, like Rick Black will call in every now and then, and we're grateful for him for you know, busting out that whole thing in Nevada, you know, with that all that April Parks and all that going on.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He's a heck of an advocate. And also Athena Rowe, she does live in Colorado Springs, or she's out here in the Denver area, and she's been excellent, too. She's a really good friend of mine. I know a lot of people through this. I also want to let everybody know that on Monday nights I co-host with Marty Oakley, and sometimes Brian Kinter comes on with the Judicial Accountability Movement. We also co-host on that Monday night, and that number to call in, it's usually 6 o'clock Colorado time, so it's 8 o'clock on the eastern side, and that number is 917-388-4520, and I usually post those on our sites on Facebook when I co-host with Marty about abolishing probate. And we've had some excellent guests on there. And Marty Oakley is also a very good advocate, also along with Rick Black. And, of course, you know all the other organizations out there that work on this every single day, and especially our co-host, Marcy. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on and co-hosting with me when you get a chance. And I think we're going to be having Hillary Hogue is going to be coming on, co-hosting with us. And we're going to keep these shows going on every single Wednesday. And thank you so much for coming on and telling us our story of your family. I mean, the story is on, what is it, We Are the Bennett Family? What is that you call that?
This is Us, the Bennett Family.
This is Us,
and
the Bennett Family.
And where are you? You're in the Carolinas?
Yeah, we're in South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina.
Charleston,
right.
South
Carolina. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And she's probably the first one I've heard from there that this is going on. You mean that it's starting to go on there, and hopefully you can get a handle on that before it hurts any more good folks out there. We want to protect our family legacies. We want to make sure the intergenerational transfer of wealth continues. And we always say that justice requires transparency and accountability, and giving up is never an option. And we say that all the time on our shows. And I just want to let everybody know that this has been a great show tonight. I mean, we've connected, you know, Melissa with Rick Black, which is excellent.
Yes.
We're going to continue this every Wednesday night. But a special thanks. I'll be sharing this link around Facebook and on Twitter so everybody can rehear this video. And if anybody wants to come on, it's called the Hidden Truth Revealed channel, and that's on Blog Talk Radio. You can actually hit the follow sign on there, so you'll be reminded of the shows each week. It gives you a good reminder. And if you want to co-host a show, or if you want to have your own show, let me know. It's a lot of work, but it's very well worth it. So just let me know what you want to do. Anyway, like I say, good night, everybody. This is July 11th. 2018, another episode of Faces with Marcy Freeman and Luann Fleming, and we have Melissa Bennett on tonight. Anyway, good night, everybody.
Thank you, Luann.
Thank you.
We love you all out there.
And,
good night.
And remember what Joel Osteen says, God turns victims into victors.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go. Good night, Hillary. Thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Great show.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
A little bit of our Danny Tate music here. He was also taken into guardianship. I'm going to play that at the end. Good night, everybody.